All right, you guys. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, friends, God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. These are our marching orders for 2019, to desire God's will above our own and to do God's will before our own. And what is God's will for us? Man, it's just to be ourselves, be who God made you to be. Shine for Jesus in a way that brings out the God colors in the world around us. Be salt for Jesus in a way that brings out the God flavors in this life. God's will is that we will take this one life that we've been given on planet Earth and that we would use it to give all that we have for the sake of Jesus Christ. And that's what today's song is all about. Listen to Leave the City. Pay attention to the lyrics, and then we're going to talk about it. Check this out.
I'm tired of tending to this fire. I've used up all I've collected. I have cinched my hands. It's glowing, embers barely showing. Proof of life in the shadows, dancing on my plans. They know that it's almost, they know that it's almost over. They know that it's almost, they know that it's almost over. last year, I needed change of pace. Couldn't take the pace of change, moving hastily. But this year, though I'm far from home, entrenched, I'm not alone. These faces facing me, they know.
What I would say about that song is that it is a beautiful song, and there is this haunting, like, emptiness to it. I feel like it's written by someone who has given all that they have. Like, the person that wrote this song, as they finish, I picture having, like, nothing left. And it makes me ask myself, have I ever given my all for Jesus? And you should be asking yourself the same question. Have I ever given my all for Jesus on a given day or season? Do I know what it's like to just literally empty myself during worship? Have you ever sang to the Lord with all your heart, soul, and strength to where you had nothing left to give? Have I ever spent myself in prayer, prayed so hard that I like just needed to lay down and sleep when I was finished? Have I ever exhausted myself and my resources that God's given me for the sake of not myself, but the gospel? Have I truly sacrificed in this life, my one life, anything, everything for the sake of the gospel? Maybe an easier way to say it is, how have I demonstrated my gratitude to God for loving me, for giving me life, from rescuing from sin and death? The lyrics begin, I'm tired of tending to this fire. I have used up all that I have collected, and I have singed my hands. It's glowing. These embers are barely showing. There's proof of life in the shadows. It's dancing on my plans. I think to understand today's song, we need to look at the lyrics from Jesus' perspective, specifically what he sacrificed for you and me. I'm tired of tending to this fire. Makes me think of Matthew 26. Jesus went with his disciples to a garden called Gethsemane. And he told them, stay here while I go over there and pray. Now, taking along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he plunged into agonizing sorrow. And then he said, this sorrow is crushing my life. So stay here. Keep watch with me. And going a little ahead, Jesus fell on his face, praying, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done and not mine. Jesus desired to do God's will, even over his own. I want you to picture Jesus stepping between you and your worst fear, your worst shame, the most devastating thing that's ever happened to you that has hurt you. I want you to picture Jesus in your mind stepping between you and the effects of that. Know that that burden that he stepped in between you and it was heavy enough that Jesus said, it feels like it's crushing my life. And yet Jesus willingly stepped into that place and said to God, I'll take that. I'll take that for them. I'll take that for him. I'll take that for her. I will bear that burden. The song continues, I have singed my hands. How has Jesus singed his hands? Zechariah chapter 3, and the Lord said to Satan, I, the Lord, reject your accusations, Satan. Yes, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebukes you, Satan. For this man, this woman, was like a burning stick that has been snatched from a fire. Have you ever reached into a fire to rescue a piece of wood that didn't want to get burned or that you didn't want to see ruined by fire? Like, that's what Jesus did. He reached into the flames of hell and he grabbed hold of us, singeing his hand like saying, I want this one for myself. Picture Jesus doing that for you. It's glowing, the embers barely showing, proof of life in the shadows, dancing on my plans. Picture Jesus being insulted by Satan, that dark figure in the corner, as he is stepping in on our behalf, as he is praying for us on our behalf, and the enemy's just slandering him. The best way that I know how to phrase what this might look like is that the proof that what Jesus was fighting for was right and good is right there in the periphery. Devils and demons dancing on his plans and celebrating his demise. It makes me think of a quote from a TV show that Brooke and I have been watching lately called The West Wing. Excellent program. In this show, we heard a quote the other day that said, if they're shooting at you, you must be doing something right. And you know what that's like. I have seen in just a weird, miraculous way that when the enemy is right in my face, really opposing me, that it's often evidence that I'm going in the right direction. And you can imagine the spiritual oppression of Jesus when he is literally saving us, interceding for us, how much the enemy, especially that moment in the garden, was just assailing him, insulting him. Why? Because they know that it's almost. They know that it's almost over. It's almost done. Who are they? I think they could be many people. I think you could consider that they, as far as this lyric is concerned, could be like regular 21 Pilots fans. Because there's rumors going around and have been for a couple years that Tyler will retire early, take some time to himself, start a family, and he doesn't want to have to be touring during that. So, ergo, they know that, yeah, it's almost over. Like they're gonna stop their tour for maybe ever, maybe a longer season than normal. Maybe they are Bible-believing 21 Pilots fans. In the song Ode to Sleep, Tyler says in his lyrics, I am afraid to tell you who I adore, won't tell you who I'm singing towards. So there's rumors that sooner or later, and I'm one of the proponents of these rumors, I put it out there, that Tyler will flat out admit with no question, I have been singing about and to Jesus Christ for you this whole time. Every song, every album, there, ergo, they, Bible-believing Christians who love 21 Pilots, we know it's almost over. Probably next album, it's just going to drop. It's going to come out. No one's going to be able to deny it. But maybe they aren't 21 Pilots fans at all. Maybe they aren't people at all. Maybe they are these, Revelation chapter 12, the great dragon, the ancient serpent, called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, has been thrown down to the earth with all of his fallen angels, and terror will come on the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you in great anger, knowing he has little time. Maybe it's the devil and his demons that know they have little time and it is almost over. The burning is so low, it's concerning because they know that when it goes out, it is a glorious gone. What is that talking about? I think this description for me makes me think, I think in movies, right? I think in cinematography often because I love film. And this phrase right here, this lyric makes me think of a representation of what was happening in the spirit realm the moment that Jesus went to the cross. The burning is so low, it's concerning, because they know, the devils and demons know, that when it goes out, it will be a glorious gone. Check this out.
Thank you. Did you honestly think by all this that you could save the human traitor? You are giving me your life and saving no one. So much for love. Tonight, the deep magic will be appeased.
Demons and all the fallen angels saw Jesus die on the cross. They celebrated. It was such a glorious gone. And they couldn't be more right, and they couldn't be more wrong. It's only time before they show me why no one ever comes back with details from beyond. Let's put ourselves back in the driver's seat. Let's put ourselves in this lyric. Let's acknowledge something that we've been talking about all year long. We live in a culture that says that Jesus is dead and gone, that the resurrection never happened, and that we, human beings, are our own gods. No one has a right to tell me what to do or how to live my life because I am the most important one in the story. We live in a culture that says you only live once, so if it feels good, just do it. We're the hero of our own story. You know what? Just make up your own truth. And that, if you've been listening at all this year, is a false reality. That is a reality that cannot save you, and you know that. That is a reality that will not satisfy you, and you know that. And that is a reality that ultimately leads to death. That false reality, by the way, is being perpetuated 24/7. On these little bitty neon gravestones that we carry around in our pocket all day, every day, and let control our thoughts, let into our most intimate of spaces. Everywhere I go, here it is, just vomiting more information I can process, and most of it negative, full of comparison, resulting in my own insecurities. These neon gravestones are perpetuating the false reality that we need to be aware of. So what do we do about it? Well, in time, the song says, I'll leave. I will leave the city. For now, I will stay alive. What does that mean? In time, I will leave the city. How could that be good news? Well, if you know anything about what happened when Jesus was being led to the cross and the events surrounding it, which you should, and if you don't, go read any of the four Gospels. Jerusalem was the city where Jesus concluded his earthly ministry. It was the capital of Israel. It was the pinnacle of Jewish culture. And Jesus willingly stepped into that culture, and he loved the people of that culture. He spoke truth to the people of that culture. He showed them how their own culture was killing them. And what did they do in return? They murdered him. But the city was never his final destination. It was merely a stop along the way. Hebrews 13. Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates to make his people holy by means of his own blood. So then, let us go out to him outside the city and bear the disgrace that he bore. For this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. Because this world is not our home, this is a way station, this is a stop along the way to either heaven or hell, we all have a decision to make. Today and every day, we can live for the city, for our culture that's killing us, and you know that's true. Or we can live for Jesus. We can live for the culture that he provides that says, sacrifice for the people on your left and your right. Put others first, not yourself. Look at the lengths that Jesus has gone. Look at the lengths that this writer, the guy who penned this song for Jesus, for us, look at the lengths that Tyler Joseph has gone to let his people, his fans know, Jesus loves you, you need him. I want to read you an excerpt from an article from Alt Press that came out last October, an article that when I first read it really bothered me. I wrestled with it. I didn't like it. In it, he's talking about this very song, Leave the City. And he says, Leave the City is definitely about losing faith, which I have been working through on this record, Joseph explains. I still think I'm going to answer that question, and I'm going to know. And when I know for sure, what's the end goal? Where am I going? Is there heaven? Is there hell? Is there a God? The process I've been on for this record, and remember Pet Cheetah in his time secluded, the process that I have been on for this record is the closest that I've been to, he pauses for a brief moment, entertaining a world where there isn't a God. And that's the world that we are living in, you guys, a world that thinks there's no God. And that is total transparency, and that is hard to say. It's a new struggle for me, but I really want to own it. I still believe in God, he acknowledges. I still want to call myself a Christian because I am a Christian. I just don't know how to talk to people about it yet. What's Tyler saying? That he lost faith in God? No. That he doesn't believe in God? No. Tyler's saying that he's trying to figure out how to connect people, connect with people who have lost their faith. He's saying he's trying to help godless people realize that they need God because so many people that come to his shows don't have that relationship, don't even have that understanding. And how did he go about doing that? He created the album of Trench. Tyler chose in this album to step down into loneliness that so many of his fans feel. Tyler chose in this album to step down into the hopelessness that so many of his fans and even us believers wrestle with on a daily basis. Tyler chose to suffer on our behalf, to go low in order to understand what is it that we need to hear to open our eyes to how much Jesus loves us and how much we need him. And why did he do that? Well, I told you when I first read that article, it was like a shock. I'm like, what are you talking? This is so like, this doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand it. And I tried to wrestle through it, and I debated with some friends about it. And finally, I just asked the Lord one morning at Starbucks, God, what is he talking about, and where is he coming from? And my mind just lit up, and a scripture came to me, and I read it, and I'll read it to you. As I'm wrestling with this question of, is Tyler like wavering in his faith? Did he like intentionally step, like what's happening? Even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people in order to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I too lived under that law. And even though I am not subject to the law, I did this so I could bring many to Christ. When I am with the Gentiles who do not follow Jewish law or who are lawless heathens, I too live apart from the law so that I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. When I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything that I can to save some. Everything I do to spread the good news and share in its blessings. I read that knowing that the author of that, Paul, stepped down and suffered with people who were far from God. And I wonder, do I love God that much to step down onto the level of those people around me that maybe I even despise, maybe I look down on? Do I love God enough to do that? And students, you're listening to this sermon, so you have to ask yourself the same question. Do you love people enough to share other people's weaknesses? Which by default implies that you are abandoning your own. You are ignoring your own. I was deeply challenged as I considered this sacrifice, whatever it was that Tyler made in order to write Trench, to get down and low on purpose and feel bad on behalf of other people in order to reach them. And as it came clear to me what exactly he had did and why he did it, I wrote this letter to him last October. I'm sure he got it. No. I was praying for you this morning. In short, my heart broke after reading the October Alt Press interview. Reading your remarks, I didn't know that I could feel so hurt on behalf of someone that I've never met. So there I was praying for you, and the Lord led me to 1 Corinthians 9, specifically verse 21. When I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law so that I can bring them to Christ. That's what you did this year, isn't it? You stepped into the dark on behalf of your people, just like C.S. Lewis did when writing the Screwtape letters. Friend, where you have gone on behalf of your fans takes my breath away. More importantly, it makes me want to love my own people that much more. Most importantly, I know God is going to use it and redeem it. I just want you to know, I see you, I pray for you. Jesus, restore, refresh, revive Tyler, his bride, Josh, their families, be glorified. So, we ask every sermon that we look at one of these songs, where is the gospel? According to 21 Pilots, according to Leave the City, it's this. In time, we are all going to leave the city. But for now, we're going to stay alive. Philippians chapter 2. You must have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. Though he was God himself, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges, and he took the humble position of a slave. He was born as a human being. Do you love God that much? Do I? Do we love God so much to deny our own self-interests for the sake of someone else, for the sake of someone who probably may not even like us, agree with us, enjoy being in our company? Do I love God enough to say, I'm going to seek what's best for this person over my best? If you don't, that's okay, because I do not. But God will help me if I ask him. And so this morning, if you are thinking, I don't have that kind of love, ask the Lord, give me more love. You can do that right now. You can pen a prayer right now. Give me more love for you, for myself, for the people around me. Philippians chapter 1 says, for to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn. between these two desires. I long to go and be with Jesus Christ, which would be far better for me, but for your sakes, it is better that I stay alive. Knowing this, I am convinced that I will stay alive so that I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. Do you and I love God that much that we would be willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel, that you would not hurt yourself, not take your own life when you are overwhelmed? Do you love God enough to suffer by staying alive for the sake of the people on your left and your right? Romans chapter 9, my heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief for my people, my brothers and sisters. I would be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Jesus Christ, if that would save them. Do you love God that much? Do I? Enough to forfeit my salvation if it meant even one person would be saved? That is a challenging thought, but that's what we are to aspire to. And if you don't have that kind of love in you, as I do not, use this morning and pray a prayer by faith and see if God doesn't respond. Lord, give me more love for you, for myself, for the people around me that need you. So why? Why should we stay alive? Why should we keep on going? Why should we face death and suffering for the sake of Jesus Christ? Well, check out this video and it'll answer your question.
We should go. So cold.
What have they done? But we saw the knife. The witch.
If the witch knew the true meaning of sacrifice, she might have interpreted the deep magic differently. That when a willing victim who has committed no treachery is killed in a traitor's stead, the stone table will crack, and even death itself would turn backwards.
We sent the news that you were dead. Peter and Edmund will have gone to war.
We have to help them.
We will, dear one, but not alone. Climb on my back. We have far to go. And little time to get there. And you may want to cover your ears.
That's scary. Why? Why do we stay alive? Why do we fight the good fight? Because even in the face of death, you guys, we have already won. We have already been proclaimed victorious. Because death didn't stop Jesus. Suffering didn't stop Jesus. The crushing weight of our sin and sorrow didn't stop Jesus, which means it will not stop us either. We have already won. The song concludes, last year, I needed a change of pace, and I couldn't take the pace of change, moving hastily. But this year, though I'm far from home, in trench, I am not alone. These faces facing me. They know. They know what I mean. Romans chapter 12. Brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable, for this is truly the way to worship him. Do not copy the behavior and customs of this world. Do not copy the way that the city says to live your lives. But let God transform you into a brand new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. It is time for this student ministry, for those listening to my voice today, to stop copying the culture of the city, the culture that's killing us, the culture that is 24/7 taking us out of the game. It is time to start copying the behavior and customs of our Savior, of Jesus, who loved us and laid down his life for us. That's what Tyler means. That's what this song and this album are about. John 15, I have told you all these things. I have sung to you about all of these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, and then your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you obey this command. It is time for us to step out of our comfort zones, to share Jesus with other people, to speak the truth in love, because lives are on the line. That's what he means. We're going to respond to what we have heard, not just today, but all year long. The gospel, the good news, that we have been saved and we have been called to go and save others. Tyler is calling for an army of banditos to raise up and go into the city, go into hell and snatch people back from the devil. Jesus Christ is calling for an army of ambassadors to stand up, to go behind enemy lines and to rescue people from Satan. If not us, who? If not right now, then when? Jesus is looking. His eyes are scouring the earth, and he's asking, who should I send? Who will go for us? You. Me. Let's go shine this week. Let's go shine this semester. Let's show people something that they can't get enough of. Let's go love. Let's just go love people in ridiculous fashion for the sake of Jesus, and let's see what God will do. That's his desire. He's given us the power. He's given us all that we need to go and do his will, and that's it. We have a variety of ways to respond today. We can sing with all our heart, soul, and strength. We can spend ourselves in worship. We can bring the tithe. We can bring our offerings and just say, Jesus, I trust you more than this paper in my pocket. We can partake in communion and just say, thank you, God, that I get it. Please help me help others get it. But the main way I want us to respond today is I want us to pray. I want us to spend ourselves in prayer. I want you to take your prayer tags and your pens right now. And here is how I want to start your prayer. What I am challenging us to do is so countercultural. It so goes against the city. It so looks at heaven as our eternal home and not this place. And in order to live that way, I don't have what it takes on my own, and neither do you, but Jesus does. So let's ask him for it. Maybe your prayer today will simply begin like this. Jesus, give me the desire and the power to do what pleases you. Jesus, I receive the desire. I receive the power to do what pleases you. Jesus, help me, help us be a people that take our faith and put it in action. If you would just write a prayer like that on behalf of yourself, on behalf of the student ministry, on behalf of this church in this city, Lord, give us what we need to make a difference. Imagine how Jesus might respond to us praying that this morning. If you would take 60 seconds and just pen that prayer in faith, come and drop it off in the offering, and then let's sing our way out of here today. It is God's will for us for today. Jesus, thank you that you have been singing truth, singing love over us this year and every year of our lives. We get it. We know what you mean. Now help us go and do it. We cannot on our own, but you're with us. So come and be with us. Empower our words, empower our prayers, empower our actions. Change the way that we think. Help us abandon the behavior and customs of the people on our left and our right. And let's be people that establish customs and behavior. Let's be people that change our culture by loving selflessly. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Time, I will leave this in.